Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry. Normally, I would say joined as always by my co-host, but he's in Las Vegas. So, stepping in and filling in for the man is Paranormal Pat. Pat, welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you. And it was funny that we were just talking about Dave off before we started recording. I was just telling him how I was going to be coming on with you, and he was starting to count on his fingers. He's like, man, I got to hurry up and get back on there.
Yeah, he gets upset almost every time now. He's like, dude, he's catching up. When can I come back on? So the answer to that is he's coming back on, and we are doing House of 1,000 Corpses for October. So he is coming back on very soon.
And shout out to JD.
A burp for JD. If those that don't know, you can check out his Twitter, Unjust Justin, and wish him some happy times at Las Vegas. I don't know what he's up to. I expect that at some point I'll get a drunken video or text, as he usually does. Yeah.
You want to check out the Paula Abdul residency?
He might. I think he's a guy that would like Paula Abdul, actually.
Hey, I saw her 2 years ago with, I'm all over when it comes to music. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, I'm going to, like, Aftershock in October, which is metal and rock and everything. But I saw her 2 years ago with Boyz II Men and New Kids on the Block, and she was awesome.
I'm not mad at that at all. Boyz II Men, too, I bet they were amazing.
Oh, they were. They were great. They were way better than I thought. I mean, like, I knew they were great, but I'm thinking they're more like men to geriatrics at this point. And they were still real good, and New Kids on the Block were great, but I feel like Paula kind of stole it.
I feel like Boyz II Men is probably one of those groups where you're like, I didn't realize how much I actually know their stuff. They just start playing these songs. You're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, this was in every prom or school dance that I ever went to, this entire catalog.
My wife laughs at me so hard every time all that Abdul song comes on, because she looks at me. She already knows the sound's going way up.
Yeah. No. What was her favorite? Her big hit, was it Straight Up?
Straight Up. Yeah. She had opposites attract. Who was it? Your Girl. I think it was called. I Want to Be Your Girl. Something like that. She had a couple of them. Like, the big ones were, I think, Straight Up and Opposites Attract. Opposites Attract was my jam, especially because, you know, they had Scat Cat on there. That was before Scat became something gross.
Right.
But it was great, too. In the concert, they had a big screen in the background, and he popped up and started dancing with her and rapping his part during the song, which obviously, I know it's a cartoon, but I mean, to say it was really cool. Like, it was like watching the music video.
Well, I never had a Paula Abdul albums, but I did have a Punk Goes 80s album, and a band called Halifax covered Straight Up. And I used to listen to that all the time, but, you know, with like a punk rock voice, like, Straight Up, now tell me. It would just rock out. I'm like, oh, this is cool 25 years later. So, but yeah, that's awesome. Me, I haven't been to a concert in a while. Actually, the last one I went to, my mom really likes this guy, and I was like, oh, we should go. James Taylor came to town. And literally, like, the whole show is just him on a bar with a bar stool and an acoustic guitar. And he's like, I wrote this song sitting on a back porch on a sunny day in 1972. And then he just starts finger picking away. I'm just like, he's amazing, but you're going to fall asleep about 20 minutes in. So that's the last show that I've been to. I need something better.
The last show I saw was a couple weeks ago in August, and it was with the Angry Dad, Ben, and with Terrible Terror Podcast, Brian. We saw Weird Al.
Oh, there you go. My sister saw Weird Al. She said he was awesome.
Oh, he's great. He is
Yeah.
awesome. I think I've seen him. That was my fourth or fifth time seeing him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to tell you this, and I didn't post anything on Facebook because I actually skipped my cousin's wedding to go. But hey, she doesn't listen to the podcast. I'm in the clear. I went to All Out AEW in Chicago, and it was freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, I was asking because I've been meaning to check it out. I haven't checked it out yet, but everybody keeps telling me how awesome it is.
Dude, you'll remember this guy, Four Horsemen. Arn Anderson came out, special appearance, because one of the managers of AEW is Tully Blanchard, the original Four Horsemen. So he kind of screws over Cody Rhodes. And when he does that, Arn comes out of the back and gives the guy, he used to be the Perfect 10 in WWE, but now he goes by Sean Spears. And he's like, he's like a superstar overnight at AEW. It's pretty cool. But anyway, he turns around, Arn hits him with his patented spine buster, which everybody just like the roof blew off when that happened. Man.
Well, real quick, dude, I want to know if one guy wrestled there that night, Joey Ryan.
Joey is not part of AEW. I guess he turned down the contract. So
Wow, that surprises me.
Yeah, I think he probably is going to make more money on the independent circuit because he wasn't going to be a top guy for AEW. So
I love that guy.
But I will tell you this.
Ryan hates him.
I've only seen Jericho twice live, but never that close up. And I was, you know, within like 20 feet of the ring. That dude, it's like being able to go on set and watch Leonardo DiCaprio go through scenes. That's what it's like watching Jericho. He's absolutely amazing. Flawless.
He's so good.
Anyway,
a podcast about It Chapter 2?
I think this was supposed to be an It 2 review, but we haven't even mentioned it yet. But yeah, I definitely want to dive into that here because I've been telling you this for like the last day or two. Like, I feel like I have a lot to say. Uh-huh. I guess let's start with the non-spoilers. So we watched the first original It. I assume you watched in theater, same as me, correct?
Of course.
It's a massive hit. The trailer comes out, gets a ton of traction. There's a lot of momentum going into It 2. Just walking out of the theater, like, what was your first non-spoiler thought that went through your head after it wrapped?
I really liked it. I thought, I went into this movie saying, it's hard to make, especially guys our age, which, you know, we saw all, like, at this point, like, you know, what haven't we seen? It's really hard to make us scared. If a can make me creeped out or give me a couple of good jump scares, it's a success in my book. I really didn't feel like I was going to be creeped out with this movie because I've never read the book, but I've seen the first one so much. How much are they going to really change from the first movie? They got a kind of a hallway they have to go down. So there was a scene that made me jump, so that made me happy. But overall, I think the effects I like. Bill Hader, I think, stole the show.
I would agree with Bill Hader 1,000,000%.
I was a big fan of Bill Hader already, but like to me, it was like a different. I mean, even though he was doing some comedy in it, still, to me, we got to see a different side of his acting that you don't normally get to see because he's kind of in that whole comedy role, you know, Saturday Night Live and all that stuff.
Right.
James McAvoy, to me, he's going to be one of those guys like, in my eyes, he's like one of those guys who's going to be remembered as like in this era as one of the greatest actors. I just like after seeing him in Split, I thought he was phenomenal in that. In Glass, his character, whether you like Glass or not, I know a lot of people didn't like Glass, but him, if you just look at him and his character and everything, I thought was amazing. And I pretty much like him in anything I've seen. Like, if I hear, like, he's becoming one of those guys like Samuel Jackson, where he's like, oh, Samuel Jackson's in it? I don't know what's about. I'll check it out, though.
Like, that's a good point.
yeah. McAvoy's in it. I'm going to check it out because, you know, I like him much. That movie looks like crap. Yeah, but he's in it. So let's see what he does. But, like, I feel like he even got outshined by Bill Hader in this. And Julia. What's her name?
Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain. Yeah. I know the hit or miss on that character. I think someone else could have. I don't think she played the character that great. I don't know. I thought she was just hit or miss on that.
Okay. Yeah, and I definitely want to get into casting, but yeah, I agree with everything that you're saying and the fact that, like, yeah, I mean, I'm 34. At this point, I've seen every type of horror movie. So yeah, if you can get a couple jumps out of me, you're probably doing pretty good. The scene with the old lady at the house where she comes like, comes storming out of that dark, like, back room, which is supposed to be a kitchen, like, that kind of creeped me out a little bit. Yeah, it's not to mention those saggy ass titties were flying everywhere.
Well, see, that was like the thumping, because you heard the thump coming.
Yep.
Even before you saw her, so you knew something huge was coming. I feel like it kind of took away a little bit because they kind of had that trailer with that whole scene, pretty much, even though they didn't show the old lady at the end, even though she kind of looked like Smeagol. But yeah, that I'll admit Mr. that too. Kind of with that. Yeah. Excellent. When you hear the stompy coming, like, it made my heart go a little bit, like, you know what I mean? Like, it gives a little bit of effect on it, which, like I said, like, if you can do that a little bit, it's that's good enough for me. I mean, I would like a really scary, creep me out movie, but
yeah,
you know, I'll take what I can get. Like, you know, I mean, I've seen The Exorcist, and if the only thing, and if I can watch The Exorcist and laugh at scenes, I don't think, you know, I have to, have I go to horror movies, I'm laughing at stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I think one of the big challenges, and this is something JD always brings up when we get into sequels on here, is it's really tough to compete with your first movie. Like, I even know, like, this is a continuation, it's part of a book, like, everybody knew this one was coming, so it wasn't, like, forced down our throat by the studio. To follow up how good and how strong of an impact it had, like, culturally, like, all over the place, is really tough. So I think they did a good job. The biggest issue that I had with it, and I don't even... It's the runtime. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this could have been condensed into... in under 2 hours. I feel like there was like 49 minutes of me going, what the fuck is going on here? Like, I found myself kind of looking at people in the audience, like, are they enjoying this? Like, I'm super confused in certain parts here, which we're going to get into.
Well, that's why it's good they have these movie theaters with the reclining chairs now.
I know. I love those, but I can't make it through a single one of them without falling asleep. So I still go to the regular theater because I'm a dozer, man. Like, if I get a little comfortable in a chair, I'm like, I'm out. So I got to kind of stay on my toes. And that's why I always bring a good, like, a bag of Skittles. So I'm just like jittery in the chair the whole time.
And the ones that are over here may be even worse for you. Cause they have heaters in them.
Dear God. I'd be out before the credits, before the opening credits were even over. You guys would be like, Kyle, wait the fuck up. Movie hasn't even started.
I'm so comfortable.
You just got a blanket, some warm glass of milk.
You know, I'm the opposite. I wish they had AC in the chairs.
Is financially, I always love talking about numbers. Like, this movie's killing it. It's not doing quite as well as the first movie, but I mean, we're looking at just under $200 million in the first week. So 190 worldwide.
I think part of that has to do with the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people are like, oh, I'm excited for it. But it's like, that runtime, though.
You know what's funny about this is before I went to the movie, my wife was like, okay, so it starts at what time? I was like, 7. She's like, so you'll be back at like 9. I go, no, about 10. It's about 3 hours long. She goes, what? She's like, 3 hours? I go, yeah, it's 2:49. Better buckle in for this one. And she's just like, no, come on, you're joking, right? I'm like, no, it's a 3-hour movie. I'm not joking.
And I don't know where Dave, because you know, like we were talking before, this Phantom Dark Dave had came down to California, and he went with us to see this movie with Ben from the Angry Dad and Terrible Terror Brian. Both Brian and Dave realized that it was that long. He goes like, it's how long? I go, where the hell has been? I was like, yeah, man, it's like almost 3 hours long. Like, no, you're lying. Holy shit, it is.
I love that.
And of course, Angry Dad, Ben over there, he had the best response. Got him.
Got him. Right, I can almost picture it when something like this. Y'all motherfuckers, How do you not know that? Got him. Dumb motherfuckers. Yeah, I love that. Did you guys end up doing a car review?
Yes. Brian, I'll try to get Brian to put it up
soon. Okay.
Because he just recently put up car reviews for Crawl and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and I think one other one. I was like, man, those movies came out like how long ago? And you're just now putting them up.
Yeah, I tried to do one, a car review one time, and I got like halfway through. I'm like, I don't know how these guys do it. I can't. It's not for me. I'm out. Like, I just turned it off, and yeah, I just went back home. All right, well, let's get into some spoilers, man.
Okay.
Okay, so in 3, 2, 1, he dies in the end. We're gonna dive into what we didn't like and talk a little bit about kind of how this thing wraps up and if there should be a third movie because it's already been talked about. So I'll start it off. Here's what I did not like. One was the length. I didn't have any issues with the casting. In fact, I thought, like, how did they find cast that look exactly like these young kids? I was so impressed with that.
Yeah.
The only one that kind of threw me off a little bit, and it's funny because you just gave him a ton of praise, is I just pictured like the adult version of Bill to be a little bit bigger than James McAvoy. I was he's stunted his growth. Yeah, that sucks. Still got that stutter though, so
yeah,
that's good. Jessica Chastain, I didn't mind her as Beverly Marsh. I thought she was okay. I don't think she like steals the show by any means. I'm not positive there's a better looking female on the planet either than her, so that's not a bad thing for her. But yeah, Bill Hader, without a doubt, steals the show as Richie. Like, he gets all the laughs, and he has like the most emotional scenes in the movie too. So he gets the highs and the lows, which is great for him. I mean, this should be like a breakout role for Bill Hader.
So, it should. I really hope that he gets more serious roles now. I mean, he deserves it.
So we've got almost 5 hours of screen time now of Pennywise, Bill Skarsgård. What'd you think about him in the sequel?
I really like his take on Pennywise. The whole time, you know, Brian and Dave were like, he's not, you know, I'm going to go blank on his name now. Original Pennywise from...
From Tim, Home Alone 2.
Tim...
It's the dude, he's like the... it's Tim Curry. He's in Hotel 2. He's the hotel manager.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, Home Alone. That's what I recognize him from. I don't know why I see him and I go, oh, he's Home Alone 2. He's the asshole from the hotel.
No, I always think of him from, of course, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep.
But Clue.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think you're going to laugh when I say this one. The Worst Witch. He had this whole scene where he was singing and, you know, he was like a head vampire or some shit. Anyways. But yeah, like, I don't know how the heck I wouldn't blank on Tim Curry's name after all the talk we did, too. Yeah, they were all like, oh, Tim Curry was way better. And I'm like, I look at it like looking at Jokers.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, what he did with the Joker, I feel like was great. Like, who at the time else could have done a better job? Keith Ledger, what he did at the time that he played the Joker for those movies, I don't think anybody could have done a better job. I don't know about, what's his name, playing Joker, in the Suicide Squad and all that with the singer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so bad at remembering names. I wasn't the biggest fan of his, but I mean, like, even like look at Mark Hamill, his voicing of the Joker. Like,
yeah,
I feel like there's just certain things. Like, I'm not trying to compare him to Tim Curry. I think this was his in his own movie, and I thought Skarsgård did a great job. And the fact that he can do all that crazy stuff with his eyes on his own.
That's the thing that always drives me crazy. Just for people at home that maybe don't know him outside of this role, he's not cross-eyed in the least bit. That's him doing it. It's not a prosthetic. He can literally turn one eye to the side, and he does that like on cue, like in his smile, like none of that CGI. Like, he can get his mouth all the way open like that. It's like the things he does like physically with this role are super impressive. Like, I looked at him the first time I saw him and I was like, this dude is probably 5'7" and is like this little like dude that's probably been in all these independent movies. And I look at his background, like his brothers are actors. I think his dad was an actor. He's almost 6'4". So he's a huge dude.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I had him totally wrong. Like everything that I thought about him going into the original It, I couldn't have been more off. I think he's awesome. I still haven't watched Castle Rock, the TV show. I heard he was really good in that too.
Yeah, someone was telling me that too, and I've never seen it either.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I think that was on like Hulu or something, so it's not like readily available to just watch anytime, but I'll have to check that out. But what did you think of, Mike, Isaiah Mustafa? Because Mike's the only one that stays in Derry all these years.
I thought, you know, you said spoilers, right?
Yep.
He's an asshole.
He kind of is.
Yeah, like, that whole thing of, like, he brings everybody back, and then he's just, like, keeping secrets from everybody, and, acting-wise, I liked him, you know, playing Mike, you know, that was good. And I like that they, like I said, I've never actually, I got the book here, and I haven't started reading it, and that thing's like a... You ever see the book of It?
Looks like a dictionary.
Jeez.
I can't get through it. One chapter and I'm like, nope, too long.
That's my biggest problem. Like, Sleep Doctor's coming out, in a month? I had another book I had started reading and I hadn't even finished. My plan was to finish that and then run through Sleep Doctor. Because, I mean, obviously it's not going to be the same. But I read The Shining and I've never read The Sleep Doctor. You know, but trying to start... It that's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, how close it was to the book, but like, you know, comparing it from the original movie to this one, I kind of like this one a little better. They had him more involved than how they than in the original movie, and I heard like in the book that they do the whole thing like how they jump from kids to adults, like how they do in the original. I like how they separated it in this one. And only had certain scenes where they went back when they were kids. Like chapter,
right.
Mostly when they were adults, some flashback. Whereas chapter one was just when they were kids. I like that a little bit better. Playing, you know.
Did you think that some of the kids' faces had been like superimposed with CGI?
maybe they did. I don't know. I mean, I heard they started filming like shortly after the original came out, but you can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah, because young Richie, Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, he's like real tall and lanky now. He still looks like this was shot like 5 years ago, and it looked like his face was like just like CGI'd onto the body, and then they got like a body double or something. He looked very strange. What's the name of the fat kid? Ben. Ben, oh, yeah, sorry. I hate to call him the fat kid. He probably gets enough of that.
Hey, I was a fat kid. My uncle, still this day, he always called my dad fat kid. I became fat kid junior, so he can deal with it.
Oh, God.
It doesn't bug me. Yeah, that's one thing. I know you got a thought. And I'm sorry I'm rambling here. But
you're good.
That's one thing I like that they didn't shy away with in this movie. I thought maybe they went a little too much with in the beginning and then halfway through with the whole gay thing, faggot every 2 seconds.
Yeah, not
cool. But I'm happy that they weren't scared to still put what they had vision in there. Like, maybe they didn't say it as much and go to the length of it, but like still, they still were able to do it. They still had Pennywise calling him a fat kid every 2 seconds. Look at all those sit-ups and push-ups. You're still just a fat kid. I love that they did that because at this day, nowadays, you can't say shit. I just heard this the other day that Weight Watchers had to change their name to WW because it was making people upset, like they're getting shamed because the name of the company is Weight Watchers, and they should watch their weight.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That's what I mean. It's this country and all this stuff, and I'm not going to get all into that. I'm just saying it's just getting ridiculous how bad it's getting with saying certain stuff, and you know they came in at and It Chapter 2 said, nope, we're calling him fat and we don't give a shit. fatty 2x4 could barely fit in that that
open door. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was a great line. One of the things that really kind of threw me off a little bit is like we lose a character like right away.
Yeah,
and I was like, ooh, that's brutal. Like, I didn't think they would show, like, a suicide, because, I mean, again, it's 2019, everybody's woke. So I didn't think they were going to show this dude offing himself in a tub.
They kind of have to, though. I mean, it's in the book. That's what it does. But and once again, trying to compare it to the original, where they just show him kill himself, and then it is written in blood on the wall. I liked it better. I liked that they ended the movie with that letter that they all got, him explaining why he did it. I felt like there was some closure in there, and I actually liked that they added that scene.
So let's talk about the ending. That's my biggest gripe. Like, the rest of the movie, I thought was really good. Up until the ending, I was like, this is fantastic. I love this movie. And then we got to the end, and I was like, oh God, it's Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull all over again. Like, what is going on here? Like, well, I don't know.
I saw that, and I heard it had something to do with aliens. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but I just didn't understand why he got so big. Like, he blew up to size, and then he's like, all of a sudden, he's like, I just thought it was like a ritual. I thought it was going to be creepy, and that there was going to be like a battle between them, but it's really just him in this one isolated area, like, just swinging at them left and right.
Which, from what I understand, is close to what the book is. And I actually heard that they made him look more like the creature that was described in the book than what, obviously, like, in the Tim Curry one, he was more like a spider.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, more kind of like a, you know what he looked like, a kind of a spider, but you know what he kind of reminded me of? Gremlins 2, the spider gremlin.
Yep.
But yeah, so but that was more along the lines of what in the book they described. And I still liked how he was still trying to screw with their heads, you know what I mean, the whole time. And he separates them and still brings in the different kind of fear. And I gotta say, that with Beverly, I love the fact that they had her stuck crying in the bath and in the bathroom stall, and they kept opening up the door with people, "You still daddy's girl? Hey, bitch, you still daddy's girl?" And then,
that was great.
Whole time it's filling up with blood.
Yep. And then you got Ben outside that's just like repeating the poem that he wrote for her. Like, that part was really cool. Maybe it just dragged on too long. I don't know what it is exactly that I didn't like. I really feel like I need to give this movie a second watch, but I'm kind of going down that path. Like, after
come out to California, we'll go see it.
Well, you know, speaking of California, like, when I watched the original Halloween, I was like, this is really good. And I talked to Dave, he's like, the worst fucking movie I've ever seen. He was so pissed with it. And he was like, I'm going to give it a second watch. It didn't get any better on the second watch. Like, it got worse. I don't know if this is going to get worse for me. I don't know if this movie will get worse for me or better if I watch it for a second time. Mm. I think it'll get better just because I'll see new things. But I'm like, I'm one of those guys. I'm really hard to, like, go to a movie and walk away not happy. Like, for the most part, I go to movies because I love them. And whatever happens, happens. I'm like, all right, well, wasn't going to win an Oscar, but I mean, it was cool. So for me to walk out and be like, what just happened? Like, I don't know what I expected. And that goes to, like, me not knowing the book. So.
Yeah, that's why I try to know. I've seen the original It way before, you know, then I was like, oh, it's a book.
Right.
But I try to, like, I talked to some people who read the book. I kind of look things up just to kind of get that idea. That's why you do know there's a scene I'm surprised they didn't throw into the movie, the child orgy scene they had.
Oh, they cut that one, huh?
In the book. Yeah. That
makes sense.
Have you heard about that?
No.
Apparently after they defeat it the first time, Beverly pretty much does it with every single one of the guys to forge their bond or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they're grown up or when they're kids?
No, when they're kids.
Okay, yeah, that's way too much. Yeah, can't have that.
Maybe, I wonder if it's in the director's cut. But yeah, so there's like a lot of the stuff in the book, obviously, that, you know, one, they probably didn't add, or two, that they, you know, just couldn't. But I try to, like I said, I try to get as much information on the extra stuff. That, I mean, like I said, once again, that book is it's not a book, it's a encyclopedia or something of bricks.
That's crazy. That blows my mind that they might have even thought about putting that scene in there at some point. I wonder if they shot it, because he's like, well, we have 6 hours of footage. I almost feel like they shot that scene. And then they watched it back to like dailies and sent it to the studio, and they're like, no fucking, no. What? No.
Burn this film. This is called child pornography. Right.
Yeah, we need you to get rid of this immediately. And then Netflix stepped in. They're like, we're going to sue the balls off you. We can't have Finn Wolfhard in an orgy. So.
Real quick, though. I decided this to pop in my head when you said Netflix. I don't know why Netflix made me think of this. But before the movie started, like, they show the WB sign and the balloons going up, and then all of a sudden Harley Quinn show up.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. I'm really tired of clowns. I was like, yes!
Yeah, I thought that was pretty decent. Like, and you can tell, like, they shot that footage just for this. Like, that's not film that they're shooting right now currently. So I kind of like it. I was like, well, that's smart on the WB, man, because it's not like they have a ton of movies that are like massive successes. Like they have a couple every year, but they're not Disney. So for them to like set that up and be smart about it was pretty brilliant.
And sorry, Dave, but it's a DC movie. They have to find some hype around it because we know how DC movies end up.
Yeah, I know. They've been rough. But yeah, I mean, overall, man, let's do like a out of 10. What do you give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
8?
Because I really enjoyed it. Like I said, it did get me to jump. I don't want to, even though we said spoilers, I don't want to give away what made me jump. I'll tell you after, just because if you haven't seen the movie, if you know it's coming, then it's not going to do anything for you. So, but like I said, there was a couple times I got a good creep factor. Skarsgård, when he was talking to, which trailer, talking to Beverly when she was trying to escape, and he was like putting on the white makeup part, like, and like scratching in the red lines in his face. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting when it, once again in the trailer, when they show McAvoy, you know, hey kid, when he's in the house of mirrors and all that.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. You know, that the way that kill happened, once again, I'll let you, you know, everybody, if you haven't seen it yet, even though we said spoilers, the way that kill happened and what happened afterwards, I thought that was really good.
Okay.
You know, and I love that Stephen King was in it.
Yeah, I love the cameo from Stephen King. That was perfect. Because he really hasn't done a lot of cameos in his movies from at least my memory. I haven't seen any, like, all of them, but, like, he's not in Stand By Me, he's not in Christine, he's not in Thinner.
He's in Thinner.
Is he in Thinner?
I thought he played, maybe he didn't. I thought he played the old man in Thinner.
Shit, I don't know. I watched that when I was a kid, so I don't think I would have been like, oh my god, Stephen King.
I love that movie so much. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's on JD's list. That's like one of his master list movies that we put down originally before we even started this thing. He's like, we gotta do Thinner. I'm like, god damn it. We'll see. I'm not the biggest fan of Thinner, but it probably wouldn't make my top 5 list, which we are doing next week. Top 5 Stephen King adaptations into movies. So be on the lookout for that. Here's my score. I'm gonna give it a 7. 7 out of 10. I thought about 6.9 and going with a Tommy Boy. You know, they give a lot less D pluses than D minuses around here. But I'll give it a happy 7. Potential to move the 8 as well if I rewatch it and I'm not as turned off by the ending. But I mean, overall, like I said, I mean, the first one for me is probably like a 10, 9 or 10. It was just, I loved it. I thought it was like the perfect movie at the time. To even come close to living up to that, I think they knocked it out of the park.
I think that, like, for me, why it's not higher is that, well, one, I'm a little bit of the length. At least I can say one thing. It didn't feel like you were sitting there for that long, though. Like, I mean, you could tell that, like, the movie was going on for a long time, but
yeah,
it didn't feel like you were sitting there. Like, when I saw Pet Sematary, the remake of Pet Sematary, ugh. I was falling asleep, and I was like, oh my god, it's only been on for this amount of time. Like,
I know, did it was, check at one point, just because I was like, geez, this feels like it's flying by, and I was only like an hour and 20 minutes in. I was like, oh boy, I still got more than half the movie in front of me here. And then at that point, that might have been my biggest mistake, was checking my phone to see what time it was. because I was like, ooh, this is going slow. And it wasn't. I was checking it because I thought it was going fast. So I kind of like got in my own head a little bit there and then started getting nitpicky about it. So where do they go from here, man? Did you read the idea from Bill Skarsgård about a prequel?
No, I didn't even know they were doing it. I was like, if that's the end of the book, how do they do another one? But they want to do like a prequel.
It's his idea, actually. He came out and said he would like to do a third movie. And here's where he thought the story could go. It would have to be a prequel about before we meet the Losers Club, about how he becomes Pennywise and gets to that point. So he wants to kind of explore that. And I say he's made the studio, well, it's not just him, but the whole crew, you know, over $1 billion. I can't imagine they're going to be like, nah, I think we're going to leave this alone. Well, they're going to squeeze that turnip one more time.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they can collaborate with Stephen King for an idea, but he was in other books. I know he was in a Dark Tower book.
Yep.
Or like a creature that was supposed to be like it. Was in one of the books. I actually never read any of the Dark Tower series, but Brian has, and he was telling me that they didn't necessarily say it was it, like the exact it, but like a creature that was just like him was in the series. And I remember in the movie Dark Tower, there was a little scene with him where it said Pennywise
on it.
But I mean, there's possibility. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't, especially with as big as Pennywise is, that he didn't do like some kind of prequel or have an idea for it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't have like some kind of idea for it.
Right. Listen, if they've greenlit 10 Fast and Furious movies, they can go ahead and greenlight it 3.
But it's all about family.
We'll see. Maybe it'll be all about his family.
Yeah, there you go. The last one I saw for Fast and Furious was the one in Brazil where they first introduced The Rock.
Okay.
that's the last one I've seen. And then after that, I didn't want to see the other ones. I just like happened to miss the next two, and it's just like, oh man, I kind of fell behind. And then I don't know. And it's like, hey, let's watch the Fast and Furious movie. I'm like, or a horror movie,
or don't watch any of those movies. I think the first one actually still holds up, and I did see Hobbs and Shaw because I love The Rock. We've talked about this.
Statham too.
Statham's not bad. I wouldn't go to a movie just because it's Jason Statham, but I mean, I definitely have been to a bunch of his movies, and I like him a lot.
I did. Have you heard of a movie called The Meg?
Absolutely. You know what? I 100% saw that because it was Statham and a giant shark called The Meg, and I was just like, I'm in. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and it surprised me. I went into the movie thinking it's a monster movie, and it's going to be crap. And you know what? I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah. Yep, so there you go. You guys got two reviews out of us, It 2 and The Meg, which you can probably pick up at a local Redbox. But let's wrap it up for now. Be on the lookout for the drive home review from Paranormal Pat. Dave, Ben, Terrible Terror should be up any day now or next week whenever Brian gets to it. But yeah, Pat, go ahead and plug your show, man. Plug away the YouTube channel, everything.
Paranormal Activity Podcast, which I got chastised this whole weekend with Dave, Ben, and Brian that I don't bring out enough episodes.
Okay.
So I might be working on something to bring out more episodes because, man, they were laying into me about that. But Paranormal Activity Podcast, you can find me anywhere you can find the Back in Time Podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and IGTV at ParanormalPat64. I also, on my YouTube, Paranormal Pativity Podcast and Facebook are the same, but on my YouTube and IG, I do a lot of the same kind of car movie reviews. And so I actually will be doing one for It Chapter 2 also. But if you listen to this, you probably don't need to watch that one, but go check out my other ones. But yeah, anything paranormal I talk about, you can email me at paranormalpat64@gmail.com. And if you have a story or an experience you'd like to, sure. I can't talk all of a sudden. It's so surprising to me that I've done so many podcast episodes as much as I stutter.
Yeah. You know, and I don't want this to come out right away, but like we just had an episode with my dad last week that was very paranormal-ish. He was seeing stuff and actually like fired a gun through a door in our house because he thought he was being attacked. So turns out his medicine was all messed up and everybody's fine. Thank God. Yeah. But might have a good story for you. Because some other stuff happened in the house, too, and we're like, what the hell?
All right, well, so, you know what? We'll put it on the dock. That could be an extra episode coming out soon.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely get back over there. Check that out. Yeah, check out his YouTube. He does some cool food reviews as well. There you go. Sola 64. You just did the Whopper challenge and the what's the new one? The fake Whopper?
Oh, the Impossible Whopper, which
should just call it the woke Whopper. But yeah, it probably tastes like was it cardboard with sauce or?
You know, honestly, okay, I'm not the biggest fan of Burger King because I feel like their burgers are always dry.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I could taste the difference. You can kind of smell the difference. If someone said this is all we have, it's very edible. You can eat it. Trust me. It's not, it's actually surprising about how close it was to the Whopper.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, two things. I looked up the calorie count. It's only 30 calories less
than the Whopper. Come on. The actual Whopper.
And then two, I don't understand why these vegetarians and vegans always say, man, I want that. It tastes just like a real burger. Well, why do you want something that tastes just like a real burger if you're a vegetarian? Go eat your plants and stop trying to make good food like your food.
Listen, if you want to help animals, just limit it. Instead of eating every single day, once a month, go get a real hamburger. Like, you're going to be fine.
And we're not animals over here. We eat everything. Go ahead and eat a hot dog. You get lips and assholes.
There you go. Lips and assholes in our archives. Great Outdoors. Great episode. All right, man. Well, thanks for joining. You can follow me over at KAutry29 on Twitter. The podcast is at Back in Time Pod. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, IGTV, YouTube. Gosh, am I leaving one out? Spotify, Google Podcast, CastBox. There's a bunch of them. Follow us, support us, drop a review. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. And as always, have a good rest of the day. I'm not going to end it like I normally do because we don't need to get into a DeLorean because this movie just came out last week. So we'll just we'll say go watch it too. It's a good movie. Check it out. See ya.
Woo!